And on today's Windy City Careercast, Stephen Rader is my co-host, and we are high on Cold Stone Creamery. That's right. It's a crazy night out on Halsted Street with Stephen Rader and I. We talk about what our favorite blend is. Will you guess what our Cold Stone concoction is? And how did I lose my voice last week? It happened. It's a funny story. And we're discussing hand jobs because why not? And I tell Stephen I think he needs to write his autobiography. I think I know what it should consist of and include. And also we talk about stories about his mom, all because we're looking at our Southern roots as we visit with Leslie Jordan, Beverly Leslie from Will and Grace, who's also Brother Boy on Sordid Lives, the new series on Logo. This is a fun Southern show.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 232, I hope. I think that's what it is. I've had so much ice cream, I couldn't tell you. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Stephen Rader.
And we're at the corner of Gay and Gay at Roscoe and Halsted. And where the fuck can a gay find a seat is what I want to know.
There are no benches in Boystown.
There are no benches. No, we didn't say bitches. There are plenty
there are
of bitches.
There are no bitches in Boystown.
There are no bitches in Boystown. There are no benches, us Southern people. There are no benches. We went and got a Cold Stone Creamery
no
ice cream.
As opposed, we got one apiece,
as opposed to a cocktail, because I'm telling you, I'd rather have sugar over hooch most days.
Because after 35, yeah, this is what I'm going to go to bed with. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
This is what I'm going to go to bed with.
Well, that would be okay. Slather that all over yourself. That would be a fun night for you and your animals.
That would be a fun night, please.
Is a fun night?
I'm going back for
You're
one
going back?
For the road. Hello.
There you go.
Oh, and there's
and
our, there's
like
my
to,
bus.
Would you like to tell people what your blend is?
Okay, this is what, if you want to make me very happy.
Yes.
You get the Love It, not the Gotta Have It. You got the Love It size of the cake batter ice cream.
Yes.
With the Oreos and the graham cracker pie crust.
Yes.
In a waffle bowl. Plain waffle bowl.
A plain waffle bowl.
Plain waffle bowl.
Because you're conservative boy
from Tennessee.
Because I don't want to get crazy.
And I drink it with a Diet Coke. So.
To cut the sweet, as
the
Dolly
sweet.
Would say.
That's the sweet, baby.
Gotta cut that sweet.
Oh, honey.
Oh, I sound like Brenda Vaccaro. I had this really husky voice. It's so crazy. I don't know. Last night, I was at a party for a very dear friend of mine who turned 40. We went to this wonderful little Italian restaurant called Salvatore's, and it had this. It's right in the heart of Lincoln Park. These are some of my straight friends, and
no.
You know, but I just mean like, you know, you have a different kind of Lincoln Park experience with
no.
the straights,
no.
And I love the Breeders because they burst us. But anyhow, she's a beautiful lady, and her family was there, and just tons of us were there. But this is such a romantic little spot. I was like, I don't even feel like I'm in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And I also, it felt like an old, like, hotel or something. But anyhow, we're in this garden off the back.
Oh, wow.
And anyhow, all of a sudden, after just kind of eating and talking, I wasn't talking loud because it wasn't a loud bar, because they don't have to have a bass beat at straight parties. Did you notice that? It's really strange.
And they don't have to have guys in Speedos walking around going, can I have a dollar?
Well, one of her friends was like, I was going to get you a stripper. And I was like, I was going to get you a drag queen. But, you know. So, but anyhow, I sneezed three times. And after it, I had no voice. I literally sneezed my voice out. It was the weirdest thing. And so, and I, for a moment there, I like totally lost it.
Oh,
and
mom.
then it's now it's kind of come back today. I sneezed my voice out. Wow. That sounds so sexual.
I bet if you'd sneezed and farted, you wouldn't be able to talk for a week. You'd be gone. Can you imagine? What's that baby? Well, she exploded.
She sneezed and farted herself over the place.
And she peed a little.
So she peed a little.
It's over.
She wet herself just a bit.
No, honey.
No, but we just walked down Halsted to try to find a bench. That's where we just derailed that whole conversation. And I was like, where can a fucking gay find a place to park your ass? And you were saying that the gays just cruise. They don't ever sit down.
Our asses look better when standing.
Yeah,
hello.
In movement.
I have
friends. Lesbians like the lesbian spread. That's why we sit on bar stools.
If only I could be of a sexuality that people like the spread.
I don't like the spread.
The wanted.
The wanted.
When I lost all my weight, my father said to me, and I'm not even kidding, you know, son, you can lose all the weight you want to, but you're always going to have a big ass. Thank you.
I know that's to be true for me.
And to your wonderful wife as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a big ass. You're very cute.
Oh, no. I have a very... Oh, no. It's up there.
I have a big butt. I have a badonkadonk, too.
Badonkadonk.
Badonkadonk. I can't say that.
Honky-tonk, badonkadonk.
We were just walking down the street, and there was in one of our windows, I don't know what...
Oh, that. What is that? Oh, it's...
Oh, batteries not included?
Yeah, batteries not included.
They had a huge Dolly Parton cutout, and
make Dolly eat?
Make Dolly eat, and they had all this different food around.
Bless her heart. She eats. She just throws up afterwards.
She does. You know, I was thinking the other day about Dolly, because I was watching Sordid Lives on Logo.
Love that.
Today on our show, we have Leslie Jordan, who plays Brother Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Love me some Brother Boy.
I love Leslie Jordan. I have to tell you, I called him to do the interview, and he was in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Shut up.
So what I didn't record for you guys to know, but I'm going to tell all of you now, is that I said, Leslie, I want to, you know, sometimes I'll talk to a guest just briefly beforehand. I don't like to talk to him much before I record an interview. But I said, I have to tell you something because I just talked to my dad. And my dad was like, who are you interviewing? And I said, I'm interviewing Leslie Jordan. My father went to high school with his father. My father was quarterback of the football team at Central High when his dad was the mascot.
Shut up.
And his name was Alan. I don't know if he's alive or dead. I think he probably is alive. I know his mom is. Because Leslie was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, while I did the interview. Called him on a cell phone, and he's in Chattanooga. So my dad knows your dad. I went to school with your mom and dad. He's 2 years older. And your dad was in a barbershop quartet with my uncle, who just passed away a year ago. And I said, so they were actually very close, and we're in the same class. And he was like, oh, he was so Leslie. You know, he was like, oh, my Lord. It's like, look at that. I'm going to have to get my mom. My mama's got her yearbooks around here somewhere. So it was really, really cool because I've always known that we were from the same neck of the woods. We have like one gay bar in Chattanooga that I know of, and I've been there. And
what's the name
of
it?
I can't remember. It's like the only gay bar.
I know I've been there.
It has like a...
I know I have.
It's like right downtown. And and I said, you know, I've been there, and they told me you come in. And he goes, well, you know, you got to support, you know? So, but he's a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober 10 years. He, you know, really loves going back home. He misses the South, has big Southern parties, which he'll talk about in L.A. with friends.
Love it.
But anyhow, in watching the show, you know that his character is in love with Tammy Wynette. And in watching it, the series starts the day Tammy Wynette died.
The day Tammy Wynette died.
And I started thinking the day that Dolly Parton dies, not even putting that out into the universe except to say, you and I will have to like set Shiva.
Honey,
what will we do? Don't know what we'll do.
I've said this at a little thing. I was doing a thing for a second story business reading series. And they did an event for Season of Concern for Pride Month. And I was sort of explaining, you know, how we got Pride, you know, with Judy Garland's death. And if it didn't happen because of Judy Garland dying, I don't want to hear about it.
You mean Stonewall?
Stonewall.
Yes.
So Stonewall, you know, Judy Garland died. The Queen said, no, thank you. I think straight people should be very afraid if Eliza or Barbara or
Cher,
you know what I mean, or Carol Channing. Cher, or
is,
Cher.
Cher is pretty waxed, so I think we're good with that.
Well,
one.
You know,
Dolly.
You know, but I mean, if these girls
Madonna.
Die, well, now Madonna, I'm the only homosexual that's not so much.
Yeah, she'll have a lot of straight people that'll wig too.
Oh, that's, yeah, yeah. But I think that they should be afraid because we'll revolt.
Yeah.
But when Dolly goes, I will be very, very upset.
Yeah.
I will be very, very upset.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What I love about her?
I should get bereavement leave is what I think. Seriously. You're not going to want to hear those podcasts. They're going to be so sad.
Well, it's day 47.
Exactly.
Of Dolly Watch.
Exactly.
I tell you. But what I love about her is she didn't win the Oscar.
Yeah.
I knew from how much I've read about her and know about her, you know, and how much we hang out, but I knew that it didn't bother her a bit.
Yeah.
I knew that she walked out of that place and went, all right, what's next?
I'm going to write the next one about pimps.
I mean, she...
I'm going to write the next one about pimps.
Hard out here
traveling through. Yeah, you know, the 9 to 5, I had to watch the YouTube. Did I send that to you?
I've seen it.
With Allison Janney and all of them singing.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
I'm very excited. That should be a road trip for you and I.
Mm, oh, my God.
Let's make that happen. I got to make
that
happen.
Either in New York or at L.A.?
Yeah.
Either in L.A. first.
Oh, let's go to L.A. Mm-hmm. I got friends in L.A. We'll sleep on their couch. Actually, we'll sleep in their rooms.
Alex, we're on our way.
Well, Alex, too. I don't even think about Alex, but yeah.
What is it called, Chrisanne? Chrisanne, we're on our way.
We're on our way. Move the kitty cats away from the area.
You know, but everyone's going to make fun of it because they think that it's a 9 to 5, the musical. But I tell you.
She's brilliant.
She's brilliant. She's been writing a lot of music for it. And if they don't like what she's written, she has to write another song. Joe Mantello is the director.
Yeah, who did Wicked.
He's one of the best directors around right now.
Yeah.
It's in really good hands. If it's going to be a success, it has every chance to be a success.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it might be really, really out there and really good. Maybe I'm crazy, but I can't wait.
I'm pretty freaking excited.
I am. Hello. Give me a break.
I think it's going to be really good.
Now, do you like Sorted Lives? Are you watching it?
I've only watched the first episode. I have to say, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but I want to hear your opinion about it. because Leslie and I talk about it a lot, but I just think some of the acting is so freaking good.
Oh, I will agree
with you. I think that Beth Grant is like the glue that holds the whole thing together. Genius. Genius, genius, genius.
Mm-hmm. She's Sissy, right?
Yes.
Sissy, the one that smokes?
Yes. Bonnie Bedelia. Genius.
Rue McClanahan.
I haven't gotten to see too much of her yet, but genius.
Well, what I love about Beth Grant is that, no. Mm-mm, no, ma'am. No, sir. No. I mean, these women, they know these people.
They do. They
know how they talk.
People.
They know what they do. They know their mannerisms. They've got it down pat.
So they do.
It's like old home week for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so reminiscent of the people I know. I didn't grow up exactly surrounded by, but I am like, you know, one block removed from that.
Well, when the writing is good.
And my extended family in Schoebeville is all that.
So you may be away from it, honey.
You're in the thick of it.
I'm damn in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, hush. But when the writing is good, it's like in the movie version of Sorted Lives. When Brother Boy is going in to meet Dr. Eve, there's that woman that's sitting outside who's like, wait, you know,
her receptionist.
And the receptionist says, don't you worry about him. It'll all turn out, sweetie.
It'll all turn out, sweetie.
And when she said it'll all turn out, I'm like, that is exactly what would be said.
Yep.
You know, but she's gotten so big, you could move in. I mean, I've heard all of that stuff around the kitchen table. So when the writing is good, it's really good. But sometimes when the writing is not good, I'm not so much liking it.
Yeah.
But these actors are able to take it and turn it and make it brilliant.
Well, you know, and it's kind of was the thing with Queer as Folk, I think, which Del Shores was also involved with, and the thing with the L Word that comes around too, is that, you know, they can challenge these gay communities with their writing and really go there. And
I agree.
You know, and I think too that we have to remember that, you know, a lot of their I don't think that a lot of them are probably doing this for that much dough.
Oh, you're probably right.
They filmed it in like no time, which Leslie will talk about. But it's pretty insane, like how much they filmed these like 12 episodes. So
yeah, you can tell because Beth Grant's voice in the first episode was a little raspy.
Uh huh.
And in the second episode, it was raspy, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They filmed all this in a day and a half.
She's smoking. She hasn't snapping yet, like in the movie where she's snapping.
Roger, over to Beehive, talking about this therapy. Behavior modified something or another. I don't know, you can ask Roger for the exact wordage, but it ain't a working.
It ain't a working.
Oh my God. See, this is where we come from, people.
This is true. You and I wanted to do a production of this.
Oh,
remember
God.
That? And yeah. Now it's like become like all the.
Well, we still
can't. The rage.
Because they'll forget about this. It's
yeah.
Just on logo.
It's just on logo, that little network. Well, you know, it's really, really cool. We're going to break and go to some news. We also, we've been having some people call in. So,
shut
folks,
the hell up.
I'm just telling you, you can still call the 312-21-BE-GAY, and we might post your little message on our
show.
Oh,
my God.
We're going to start doing that
saying?
Now. They're saying good things.
Really?
And they're sending shout-outs to some
they're
of you co-hosts.
They're sending shout-out. Well, I better get a fucking shout-out. That's
okay.
All I gotta
Steven
say.
Raider wants it. And this is my Steven Raider shout-out. He usually goes, Steven Raider. He knows who I am when I call him. Always. We'll be back after the news.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player, yeah.
A little friendly competition never hurt anybody. Unless that anybody happens to be the person you're covering.
Bring the pain!
Hands, no. Blazing speed, no. Unresolved anger after being cut from the football team 17 years ago? Big time.
I still have issues.
When it comes to two-hand touch, you leave it all out on the field. Your blood, your sweat, your dignity.
Is overrated.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, backyard bruiser. The way you play the game will always leave us in stitches.
Mr. Overly Competitive Touch Football Game Player.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. A U.S. utility company recently forked over some big bucks to gay rights group Equality California in order to help defeat California's gay marriage ban ballot initiative. Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, announced that it is giving $250,000 to help defeat the ballot initiative to ban same-sex marriage, also known as Proposition 8. The utility company said it would also try to get other California businesses to jump on board to help keep gay marriage legal in the state.
Customs in Australia seized dozens of bottles of liquid steroids disguised as gay sex lube. The bottles of steroids have a label that says gay lube oil and are being sent from Thailand. Customs have seized bottles of the smuggled steroids all over Australia and are still investigating the matter.
Openly gay U.S. Representative Barney Frank of Massachusetts announced his proposal to legalize marijuana. His bill, H.R. 5843, would end federal penalties for pot smokers carrying less than 100 grams. Basically, Frank wants casual and responsible use of the drug decriminalized, so those who use leisurely or have the drug prescribed to them for medical reasons won't be subject to arrest. Frank said that responsible pot use is none of the government's business.
A GLBT welcoming Tennessee church was the site of a recent shooting. The suspect, Jim Adkinson, went on a shooting rampage during a children's musical performance at the church, which is home to Tennessee's largest gay and lesbian congregation. Two were killed, six others were wounded. According to police, a note was found in the suspect's car after the shooting. The note revealed that Atkinson targeted the church because of its liberal views. The shooting is being investigated as a possible hate crime.
A University of Illinois study indicates that gay and lesbian couples with children are more likely to get married. The study also indicates that same-sex couples with strong religious beliefs are more likely to tie the knot as well.
Manhunt, one of the most popular hookup sites for gay men, has been poking fun of the fact that D-list comedian Kathy Griffin has been giving the site the cold shoulder. Manhunt has been trying to get hold of the gay-friendly Griffin to join a marketing campaign for one of their sister websites, but so far she hasn't returned a single call. Manhunt recently put up a banner ad that reads, "Does Kathy Griffin think Manhunt is on the D-list?" The ad features a Griffin lookalike.
Out lesbian comedian and former daytime talk show host Rosie O'Donnell might get herself a variety show. According to reports, NBC and O'Donnell are in the midst of discussion of a live variety show starring her. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, Amy. This is Dan Powell, local Chicago boy. Well, I'm not really boy anymore, but anyway. I just wanted to say, I was just listening to one of your shows about 2 weeks ago with Coleman Domingo, and it was so funny because as I was listening to it, and he was talking about Passing Strange, all of a sudden I realized that the same Coleman Domingo who has been on your show was in Passing Strange, and I had just seen Passing Strange 2 weeks ago and met Coleman Domingo, but did not put two and two together. And I met him after the show, and he was really, really nice, as was the rest of the cast. I got this great picture with the cast, and I was just so thrilled to hear that he's doing well and that he is on your show, and I just had never put two and two together. Anyway, love your show. Love, love, love your show, and I listen to it all the time. Listen to many topics that I never would have thought I would have would listen to, but you do such a phenomenal job. I do my own podcast on film called palcinema.com, and maybe I'll talk to you again in the fall because I'm reviewing films for the Reeling Chicago Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. But anyway, just wanted to give you that feedback, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Megan Mullally from Will and Grace.
So, Stephen, we are hanging out at the corner of Roscoe and Halsted, right in front of Cocktail, where you can finally find a place to perch your ass.
Corner of Gay and Gay.
Our large asses down.
Oh, honey, well, I've got a large one. You've got a very petite one.
I have not got a large one.
And your cute sundress.
I'm wearing like a muumuu today. I'm wearing my grandmama's, what I'd call her, like her kitchen dress. I feel like I'm in my grandmama's kitchen dress. This would make Deb Pierce laugh because she laughs at my attempts to define these little outfits, outfits.
Love me some Deb Pierce.
Yeah, I love me some Deb Pierce too.
Honey,
hey, she has got friends who have this website. I'm doing a plug, spontaneous plug right now. Wasn't even going to do it. That make this fantastic cufflinks, necklaces, pins, and belt buckles. And Deb's offered to get me one of these belt buckles. And girl, I'm going to get me one of these belt buckles.
What are they?
The website is called bbj.ca. It's like, I'm going to now fuck up what the name of the company is. But just go to bbj.ca and check out their shit. It's awesome, super cool and rad, and it's kind of build your own. They have all these amazing images, so you can get a belt buckle with Swarovski crystals. I can't even say that. Swarovski? Swarovski?
The rednecks will not be able to pronounce the Swarovski crystal. No.
Some rhinestones.
Them real nice crystals.
Here comes some rhinestones. They bedazzled that
There's
damn thing.
There's some bugle beads.
So,
all fringe and knitting.
That's right. We're going to, we'll link it on the site, but I got to pick myself out one. I want you to help me.
Oh my God. So you want a cufflink? What do you want?
No, I want a belt buckle.
You want a belt buckle.
For the wintry months for when I'm wearing my...
Because that's going to keep you warm?
When I'm wearing my fry boots and I'm looking all cowgirl.
Oh God. Well, you know what you know, is it chilly out? Should I wear a belt buckle?
I think so.
What are you going to say?
I don't know. Maybe that.
A really big one?
Now that you've given me that line,
to bring all of the focus to your vagina.
Lesbians like the big belt buckle.
Because it makes them look down there.
Yes, and they also like to rub up against it. I don't know. Maybe.
Gay men are like, take that off.
That's
take that off. Get naked.
Get naked.
You know, I have a friend, and he shall remain nameless, and I have to tell the story because he might be listening. He's never listening. He's too drunk.
Good. Tell me his name.
Peter.
Ah, Peter.
It was a friend of my ex's, and this is absolutely the truth. He will be in a bar, and some guy, he will be flirting or whatever, and he will say, well, before they leave, well, let's say it. And they're like, what do you mean? Well, I'm not going to get home and be disappointed. And the guys
show it, whip it out.
Their dicks out. I've seen it happen. And if it's not big enough, he absolutely says this. Move along. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. I have felt so bad. There's some guy. But I've seen him do it. And it's hilarious. And if it's big enough, he's like, all right, let's go.
I mean, oh, my
out.
God.
It's genius.
It's like those underwear that we just saw in the windows.
With the side panels?
The side panels. They're cutouts.
Gay men.
So what do? You just stick your hand in there and give somebody a hand
job? Just get naked.
I can't remember the last hand job I gave. Boy, that's a long time ago.
Who was it?
I can't remember. Hold on. I'm trying to think.
Who was a boy in high school?
College.
College? Look at you.
Maybe. College.
College. Professor.
No.
I'm thinking a grade.
No, young. I always, I never was for the...
I've never touched the old penis. Always the young penis.
It's true. I always liked men younger than me and women older than me.
See, that changes.
It hasn't for
Not
me.
Not for you. But I'm telling you, you know, like, all these people who just are into one type, I'm into all types.
I'm into all types. Kelly's my age, but I kind of broke the mold with her. But
because I always say this, there's going to be a time when you're going to go and you're going to sleep with someone you've never expected to sleep with.
Oh, I've already done that.
And they're going to rock your world.
They usually do. Those are usually the ones that do.
We're number two. We try harder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we know what we're doing down there.
Yeah.
We're not bored.
Yeah.
We're trying. We're going for the gold.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I do. I don't remember that. I'm trying to think now. I'm really...
You're trying to think about your hand job.
I'm in a contemplative place.
I cannot believe
with
this.
My hand job. I remember my first hand job.
Let's see.
It was in a car.
It was in a car?
Of course. Because where else were we going to go when we're like teenagers? In
and
a car.
Like, grab it.
Uh-huh. And then he told me I was giving him blue balls. Is that like a really big thing that guys used to say? Because I really just wanted you to get them totally off. Or if you wouldn't give them a hand job, they would say that because they wanted you to get them totally off. I think it was just a misnomer that some couple of guys
that
I knew.
There are no blue balls. No.
No. It just really means you want to ejaculate, and I'm not doing it for you. So you have to wait a few minutes until you get home, and I'm out of the car. And you've watched me walk into the door, and I've gotten in safely. Or then I couldn't date you again.
And I've kissed your hand.
And I couldn't date you again if you didn't wait for me to get inside the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See,
that's my dad's rule.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He didn't mind if I had stubble marks all over my face or anything, as long as they saw me get in the door. Yep.
You have to be a gentleman. Good for your daddy.
Southern. And I always do that with the ladies. My dad taught me how to be a very good lesbian in that way.
Good for your daddy.
Yeah.
So you got to have that. No, you don't remember the first, but you can't remember the last.
I think it was college. It was more than likely college. But by then, it was less about hand jobs and more about having sex with guys.
It's like, let's go back on down to
yeah. Blowjobs. College was blowjobs. High school was hand jobs. College was blowjobs. Mastered it, moved on, and went to lesbianism. Okay.
I have to say, I have to tell this on the damn. Now we've talked about blowjobs.
Yes.
Now if we're going to totally go here.
You're going to tell me your technique right
now? No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you a funny story.
Sit around the world.
Every summer.
Long and deep.
Long and deep.
Because I was a good singer. I could open my throat up.
Deep and wide.
Deep and wide.
And wide. I'm going to blow you deep and wide. No.
Deep and wide.
Deep and wide. My mother and my brother and I always go on a vacation every summer, right?
Right.
So the first summer, we're in the car, we're driving to Hilton Head. I don't know how we get on the subject. And I can talk about sex with my mom or anybody, but my brother can't, he completely shuts down.
Yeah.
And my mother starts talking about sex with my father, and my brother's getting very upset.
Yep.
And she says that she has only given one blowjob in her life. She didn't like it, and she almost vomited on my father.
Well,
and then refused to give him oral sex after that. She only tried it once, almost vomited, and that was it. And I was like, Mom.
Poor Dad.
Do you understand
that? Oh, Dad, poor Dad. Mama's hung you in the closet, and I'm feeling so sad.
You know what I mean? But here's my mother, who never gave a blowjob. And what does she have? Two cocksuckers for sons. I'm like, is that karma?
It is karma.
That, like, honey, if you want to know why, just look at, you know, and maybe if you'd gone down a couple times, I'd have a wife and two kids right now.
Probably. It's all your fault, Mom.
Hey,
let me tell you, this is possibly...
the gayest thing we've ever talked about.
No, there's gayer things to come, I'm sure. Leslie Jordan being one of them, who's about to be on.
Okay.
We're going to tell you, we're going to have Leslie on, but I want to say that he's got a new book out, and I'm thinking
really?
You're starting to really get to the place where this might be possibly a title for your book or
Shut
something.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Shut the
I don't
hell
know.
Up.
I think maybe this cocksucker thing.
Cocksucker?
Like, if my mom had blown my daddy, I'd have been straight
I'd
something.
I'd have two kids and a four-car garage right
I don't know.
Now.
Missed opportunities.
Missed opportunities.
Stephen Rader, my life.
Breathing through the nose, Mama. Breathing through the nose.
Leslie Jordan on the Queercast.
The ultimate feel-good musical is back and better than ever. Don't miss your chance to have the time of your life at Mamma Mia.
You can dance, you can jive, having the time of your life. Ooh, see that girl, watch that scene, live in the dancing queen.
In 2000, I saw the film Sordid Lives, and it just all too closely resembled the people in the town that I knew very well. It's a gaggle of crazy and colorful Southern folk, and in the middle of it all, a young homosexual. It's the story of my youth. Sordid Lives became a cult hit, and the film was based on a play from 1996 written by Del Shores. In the center of the story is the character of Brother Boy and his okay that was brilliantly created for stage and screen by Leslie Jordan. Leslie is maybe best known to audiences as Megan Mullally's nemesis, Beverly Leslie, on Will and Grace, which garnered him an Emmy Award. And we're so glad to have another Tennessean on the Queercast. Hey, Leslie, how
are
you?
There we are. We're just everywhere, aren't we?
I know. I hear you're up on Rocky Top right now.
I am. I'm in Chattanooga for my 35th high school reunion. I'm going to look up this one boy who used to torment me during dodgeball. Near the queer, he would holler and hit me with the dodgeball. And I am going to look him up, and I'm going to tell him, you know, because of you, I learned to be funny, because I learned at a very early age to keep those rednecks at bay. I had to be funny. And I'm going to tell him, thank you, because I've had a very lucrative career being funny, but I also want to tell you to kiss my rich, gay ass.
Hey, that's
then
what
I'll
I like.
Leave.
I just tell him to kiss my ass when I come back to Tennessee, but someday I'll say kiss my rich ass.
It works so much better when you can say kiss my rich ass.
I know. Hey, you know, I actually hung out in, I think, the only gay bar in Chattanooga, like, last Christmas when I was home. I didn't even know there was one in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's a little dismal, but, you know, it's, I can't remember the name of it, but I've been there several times.
You got to support, and, though, right? You just got
to
support.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, we have to.
How much is Sordid Lives just flash you back to your upbringing there in East Tennessee and the people and the colorful characters that you meet if you grow up in the South?
Well, you know, Dale Shores that wrote it, we're twin sons of different mothers. I mean, our background, even though he grew up in Zapata, Texas, and I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we have the exact same sense of humor. He was the son of a Baptist preacher. I've been baptized about 14 times. It never did take. He, you know, just, he even got married. You know, he got married and had children. He was my straight friend for years and years. I was in his wedding. I'm godfather to his two daughters. He was married to Dr. Eve in the movie, the actress that plays Dr. Eve and the actress that plays Wardell. He was married to their daughter, Rosemary and Alexander Newell. But I said to Dale not too long, I said, well, you know, we're both the same because we're not exactly white trash, you know, but it's back there in our genes, you know, somewhere. I said, we're about two generations away from government cheese. when I see Sordid Lives, it does. I mean, just the little things, you know, the mother looking up underneath, I think it's the banana pudding or something, underneath to see at the funeral who brought it, you know, because they always bring their, you got to get your bowl back, you know,
you
so you put your name on
back.
The bottle. It's those little things that, you know, take you back.
My favorite thing is the way they greet one another before they see each other with the woo. Like, that is so every female in my family. And my father whistled. You know, my dad would whistle, and my mother would woo-hoo. And,
I also love, I tell you what, so Southern, how Southern women can be so catty, but not really, you know, as long as they say bless her heart or something afterwards. I love when one character is talking about her best friend and said, you know, she's just huge. She's gotten so big she can't even sit behind that cash register no more, and just says awful things about her, and then she says, she's my best friend.
Oh, because it's all said with love, you know, judgment
always.
And love. Everything is said with judgment and love. Oh,
you know, they'll say, well, she's got that pretty face, but she just needs to lose some weight, bless her heart.
That's
right. Get away with it.
That's right. You know, you told so much of your own story in your one-man show Like a Dog on Linoleum, which came to Chicago and also has played to sold out crowds from coast to coast. But you have a new show now and a I guess I should say the companion novella to go with it. You have the book, the memoir, and the show My Trip Down the Pink Carpet. Is there more to tell, and is this really the first time you're truly telling the full story of the boy from Chattanooga who became
because,
a big hit in Hollywood?
Because I got a book deal and they wanted Hollywood stuff, I was supposed to write My Trip Down the Pink Carpet, and it was just supposed to deal with, you know, my Hollywood stuff. But I thought, you know what, I've got to use aspects of like A Dog on Linoleum and other shows. And so I wrote this book that just kind of covers it all. And so I decided, Simon & Schuster wanted to send me to, you know, Barnes & Nobles and all the booksellers, the boarders around the country and do book signings. And I thought that's so boring that on my own dime, I hired my friend Dave Morgan, a wonderful marketing company out of Palm Springs, and we just did 30 cities. We had every gay pride from San Francisco to Kansas City to Boston. We were on a big tricked-out Loretta Lynn tour bus, and we finished in Philadelphia two nights ago, and I'm taking a rest here in Chattanooga, and then we're heading back out in the fall. I hope we'll make Chicago. Chicago is so expensive, though, to bring in a piece of theater.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big theater town, and it takes like a $50,000 advertising budget just to get the word out. So we're hitting a lot of the smaller, you know, towns and stuff. But
you contact me. We'll help you make that show come to Chicago. I got a connection.
Okay. Well, that's what we would need would be someone who knows. Because we, when we were in Atlanta, we hired Amanda Burse, you know, from, yeah. You remember Amanda from, she was an out lesbian, God, before Christy McNichol. She was the first out lesbian I knew.
She was on Married with Children.
Yes, and just out the whole time. And she lives outside of Atlanta now. She's raising a gorgeous daughter, and she directs now. And so while we were in Atlanta, she directed, and we shot My Trip Down the Pink Carpet, which we're hoping to sell, you know, to Bravo or Logo or somewhere. And so there's just a lot going on with all that. But I think Sorted Lives is the most exciting news right now.
Well, and it is. And you mentioned Logo. I mean, it's so exciting to have a network that now can have, you know, GLBT content 24 hours a day.
Let me tell you what I think is going to happen. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen, because there's a really interesting tidbit. The lady that gave us the money to shoot the movie of Sorted Lives is named Sharon Lane. And bless her heart, she died of pancreatic cancer last year. But she, with her husband, Levitt, oh gosh, what's his first name? Anyway, they created Married with Children. Now, Married with Children, the Fox network built an entire network around that show. That was their first big, big programming, original programming hit. And before she died last year, her prophecy was that one of these gay networks were going to take Sorted Lives, and that Sorted Lives, with the help of Sorted Lives, it would widen the appeal outside the gay community, and they would be able to build a big, wonderful GBLT network, you know, that got all kinds of people in,
yeah,
you know, to watch. And I believe that's what's going to happen. That was her prophecy, and I really do believe she's up there. We've got this angel who was so funny that she was so in love with this project. She's a Jewish girl from Queens. She had this wonderful speech. She would go, how this Jewish girl from Queens got involved in this, you know, Southern project. But, you know, there's a universality to it. We've had people from all over the country see Sorted Lives and say, you know what, I'm not from the South, but that's my family.
Yeah.
You know, there's something wonderful about the project that I like, that it does appeal to such a wide audience.
Well, you all have definitely found the fun and dysfunctional family, which I think everybody wishes they laughed that much in their dysfunction. Talk to me about the series, Sorted Lives, because for people who may have seen the movie, the series starts a little earlier.
It's a prequel. It goes back in time. It begins on the day Tammy Wynette dies. And, of course, we had to bring the matriarch out of the coffin, because in the movie she's already died. So we hired Rue McClanahan, who is so brilliant. I watched her a couple of days ago on the Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda show, the Today Show, and she loves this project. So the problem is now, how are we going to keep her alive if she gets killed? It may be kind of a dream sequence or something, because we've got to keep Peggy alive because she's so brilliant. There is smoking hot lesbian stuff with Olivia Newton-John. She befriends a character that was in the movie, and there's, I can't give away too much. They made me sign, of all things, they made me sign a confidentiality agreement. And I thought, you know, when I was signing, I said to him, you don't know the gay community, honey. We love to get the gossip going.
That's right.
And, you know, you can't shut my mouth. You're going to have to sue me. But anyway, there's all kinds of smoking hot. Olivia recorded 5 original songs. I mean, it's brilliant, brilliant music that she wrote for this series.
I think she's such a genius.
Oh, she's so gorgeous in this thing.
Now tell
me,
Minnie. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, and Caroline Ray is brilliant. You know, just Delta Burke couldn't do the series because of some scheduling problems, and so we were just devastated. And then Caroline Ray jumped in and brought a whole new Nolita to life, and so that's something else to look forward to. So,
well, and many of the original cast members of the film and many who came from the stage play like you are returning. That core trio, as you said, the Olivia Newton-John playing Bitsy May, but I mean, Bonnie Bedelia and Beth Grant, some of their scenes just, to me, have the most authenticity of what I know about being around Southern women that I can even tell you.
Both,
I mean, they're just genius.
And they're getting the reviews, which I love. I mean, I've got the flashy role, you know, so they always mention me. But I love the fact that Beth Grant can jump in as subtle as she is.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you know that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that Beth Grant is the glue of the piece. Because you'll notice in the TV series, they always come back to Beth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what shenanigans are going on, it's Beth that's holding, not only on screen, holding the family together, but I think it's her. You know, somebody has to have their feet on the ground. You know what I mean? You can't just have me, you know, out there in drag and carrying on and all this. You've got to have some characters that have their feet on the ground. And like you said, those are the most authentic scenes, or Bonnie Bedelia and Ann Walker. Let's not forget Ann Walker.
Brilliant. You know what I love is that house, she has her feet on the ground, but she also has the bottle of Valium, and she also has fried chicken or something to nosh on that's always on the dining room table. So
and
that's
Jesus
the house
on the
where
wall.
You know you're going to go.
And Jesus on
and
the
Jesus
wall.
Jesus on the wall.
You've always got that beautiful picture of Jesus on the wall as she's popping her Valium and smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Tell me about Brother Boy. Now, for people, let's pretend people have not seen the movie or the play, and they're anticipating watching the series. Who is Brother Boy, and how did you create this character?
Well, Del Shores had written a short story called The Dehomosexualization of Brother Boy about this institutionalized drag queen. And I was privy from the very first day when he said, I'm going to put him in a play. And he would call me up, and I would give him funny lines, and he would add them. See, the deal is with Del Shores, you can give him lines, you can ad-lib during rehearsal, you can do whatever you want, but he's going to get the credit. That's what he says. You can ad-lib, you can make up stuff. I'm the writer, I get the credit. So, but Brother Boy is, he's been in a mental hospital for 23 years because he used to like to dress up like country western singers. First it was Kitty Wales, and then it was Loretta, and now he has become obsessed with Tammy Wynette. Now the best advice that Del Shores, the director, gave me when we were doing the play, he said, you put a man in a dress and it's going to be funny. Leslie, you're intrinsically funny. Let's go for the real pathos of this character. And I think that was the best advice because I was able to give him layers. You know, he's not just this silly, you know, drag queen. What I do is the way I keep my sanity is I put together little drag shows for the patients in the mental hospital. But I like to perform after they've been medicated. You know? But anyway, the series deals with the fact that I'm not going to be able to perform any longer for the audience because I've been dehomosexualized by this unscrupulous therapist that's trying to get on Oprah because she figures if she can dehomosexualize me, she can dehomosexualize anybody. And so there's a lot more pathos, I think, to deal with in the television series, which I just loved. You know, I love that kind of comedy where you're just laughing, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, this isn't really funny, and you got a little tear maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved that when we screened it for this huge audience in New York City for the premiere, they got it.
Yeah.
You know, they knew when to laugh. And then all of a sudden, when there were the serious moments with Brother Boy, you could have heard a pin drop. And I love that. That's good writing is what it is.
Well, and it's
good
you
acting,
talking.
Good acting, I will say, but good writing.
Genius acting, genius writing, and wonderful collaborating. I mean, I think it's exactly that story that you said about the dodgeball. You know, the reality of that is that especially in the rural South, and in the religious South, and I know right where you grew up, so it's like the buckle of the Bible Belt. There's lots of money surrounding lots of poverty and lots of morality with all of it. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's interesting that, you know, the humor and the comedy that gay people find and the language and expression that we find is really only masking really deep wounds and deep desire of acceptance and also self-hatred and self-loathing because that's what's preached to us. And
but I love the fact that both, like you and I, not only got out, but we got out with our sense of humor intact, and it's almost come full circle because I have to tell you, I am right now at 53 years of age, closer to my authentic self. Hmm. And I think it's all that we went through that has made me who I am today. And I would not trade it for anything, you know, my experiences.
Well, and I think you're intrinsically very proud of being Southern. And I have been, too. I have been more proud of being Southern as I left the South and claiming my Southern roots and heritage than I was when I was in the South, because I was always trying to get out.
Exactly. I say I'm 53. I spent 25 years trying to get out of the South, desperate. And the last 25, I've lived in Los Angeles, pining for the South. But, you know, we have such a strong support group of Southerners, mm-hmm. you know, with Dale Shores, and we have parties, and Rosemary, his ex-mother-in-law that played Dr. Eve, she brings her famous cornbread.
Yeah.
I bring chicken and dumplings, and I sometimes bring garlic cheese grits, and we have a whole Southern thing. Dale makes this chili you would not believe, this homemade chili, and we have these dinner parties, you know, where we bring all our stuff. We used to, years ago, we haven't done it in years, we'd have white trash, and I would bring fried bologna sandwiches on white bread with yellow mustard.
There
you go. We would have tater tots.
If somebody's,
fried bologna sandwiches and tater tots.
If somebody's bringing a mess of greens, I'm there. That's what makes
there.
It. That finishes it off. You know, it is true, though, because I'm sure you've moved to L.A. and found Southern folk, and we migrate to each other. I came to Chicago,
I
found a swarm of Southern folk, you know, who are here.
I hear a Southern accent, and it's like music. It's like I hear music. I will hear someone Southern, and I turn around, and it's like I've just heard a wonderful melody or something.
Yeah. I love saying, where are you from? Because that just means...
Where are you from?
I know what that means. How many episodes are there going to be in this first season of Sordid Lives? And where did you all film? You did not film in L.A., did you?
No, we did something wonderful. We found out that because of Katrina, the Louisiana Film Commission was... desperate to get people to shoot there, and they gave us these wonderful tax incentives. So we went to Shreveport, Louisiana, which I've gotten in trouble twice because I called Shreveport a cesspool of vice, meaning that we loved it, that there was so much gambling on the riverboats. Well, it's gotten all over the press. I even read a review yesterday where it said Mr. Jordan said that Shreveport was a cesspool. I did not say that. I said a cesspool of vice. We could not keep Ann Walker out of the casino. She'd get her per diem every day. You know, they give us $50 a day to eat on, and then there they all went and gambled away their per diem. But we shot in Shreveport, Louisiana. We shot in 35 days, which is unheard of. 12 episodes.
Wow.
12 episodes. I shot mine because I was also at the time doing an HBO series that has since been panned called 12 Miles of Bad Road with Lily Tomlin. But I had to shoot all 12 episodes in 6 days.
Oh,
now you're
my
talking,
heavens.
Honey, you're talking 3 or 4 months worth of work in 6 days.
Wow.
So, but I tell you, Dale called me when he started editing, and he said, Leslie, your work is just brilliant. And I said, well, you know why? I think because it was so fast and furious, you didn't give me time to think. Because I'm the kind of actor, you don't want me to think about it. My instincts are good enough that if I just jump in and do it, that's the best work for me. You know, whether it's sitting and planning, you know, planning it all out. That's when I get in trouble.
Yeah, that's I get in trouble when I start figuring things out, too. Figuring what I'm fixing to do. Figuring what I'm fixing to do is my southern
that's
albatross.
It.
Hey, who are some of the other people that will be jumping into these 12 episodes? I know there are lots of guest stars. And I know Margaret Cho is in the very first episode. Who are some other people joining you in the first season?
We've got Carson. Carson jumps in. Carson, I can't remember how to say everybody's last name.
Carson Kressley.
Kressley, okay. He's in, oh my gosh, who else? We had a bunch of people. I'm thinking RuPaul. I hope I'm not wrong. You'll have to ask Dale Shores about that.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of, I can't remember, he got a bunch of, I think maybe RuPaul's in one. All kinds of people jump in.
So we will definitely see
Whoopi saw it and said she wants to jump in. Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda saw it and said they want to jump in. Everybody that's seen it wants to jump in.
And I hear a friend of the podcast, Candace Kane, she's also making an appearance.
Yes, that's right. Maybe it's not RuPaul. Maybe it's Candace Kane. I'm sorry. They needed a somebody big and beautiful. So I think it was Candace.
Well, they both try to cover whenever that call goes out. I'm sure one of them checks their calendars when big and beautiful is needed, and they both
big
know.
And beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
You want big.
Sordid Lives, the series, is on Logo now. So, folks, they run the episodes, you know, in reruns, but catch it. Go to logoonline.com and find out when it's airing. And if you don't get Logo, you need to call your cable company and say, why don't I get this fabulous gay network? I need it. And you can find out more about this series at Logo Online. If you want more on Leslie, his book, My Trip on the Pink Carpet, and the show that's been accompanying the launch of the book, you can find out all about Leslie at theleslyjordan.com, because there may be more than one, but he is theleslyjordan.com, and there's information, and you can catch up with Leslie and all that he has going on. Leslie, much success, and it's great to have
a fellow Tennessean
on the show.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Hi there, I'm Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. The summer heat has arrived and the beaches, including the nude one, are now open, so I hope you'll pack your bags and join us for a drink on a patio here at Toronto's Gay Village. It won't be just the weather heating things up in the city this summer. Performances like Dirty Dancing, Evil Dead the Musical, and Avenue Q will be keeping things hot on stage in Toronto this summer. Visit www.seetorontonow.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
So, Stephen, we continue this. We're going to talk more about sex in our next show.
Oh.
We're going to talk about sex in relationship to young people and sex education because you went to the About Face You show. So we're going to talk about that in the next show.
Yeah.
But I think we've started writing your autobiography as Leslie Jordan continues to write his. We hope
what is
you will,
his name?
His is called My Life on the Pink Carpet.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
My Life on the Pink Carpet? Good. My Trip Down the Pink Carpet.
My Trip Down the Pink Carpet?
Yes. I'm on a sugar high.
Uh-huh. That's what they call it.
This is I'm on a sugar
whatever
high.
Whatever lets you sleep at night, honey.
You didn't ask me what kind of cold stone I want so that the podcast listeners will...
Like, you've got a girlfriend. Back off.
Hey, nope. She does not buy me ice cream.
Well, then, bitch,
she
you need to get
not,
a new girlfriend.
She is a savory and I am a sweet.
Can you imagine?
Somehow that's how
you
we
never
go together.
Buy me ice cream.
You never buy me ice cream.
No. What do you like?
She likes popsicles.
Tell the people.
I like a coffee ice cream.
Coffee.
With Oreos.
Coffee with Oreos.
And almonds.
It's a little redundant.
Almonds.
And almonds.
And hot fudge.
You like nuts.
Mmm.
See?
Hand jobs,
you're a lesbian,
blow jobs.
But you get them a little confused.
Not a Kinsey 6.
You're not a Kinsey 6? Oh, I am.
I mean,
I'm a Kinsey
I don't,
six.
I'm lesbian, but I'm not a Kinsey
I'm,
six.
I'm a Kinsey like seven.
You are a Kinsey
I
seven.
I've swung so far.
It's just it's got you stuck. And I have no hope. Even if one day we look at each other across the room and I'm going, you wanna? Stephen Rader would be going,
I'd be like, well,
no.
If there's a strap on, honey, you can try
well,
it.
Well, of course there's a strap on. What size? What color?
What size? Well, what's the largest you got? Let's try. Oh, come on.
Stephen Rader.
Come on, you'll lose your hand.
Leave us a message. Tell us what size you like.
Oh.
And what you think Stephen Rader's title of his autobiography ought to be. On the next QueerCast, we're going to get serious about sex again. Not that serious. It's not possible for you and I to get that serious. And jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
And we're out. Thanks for listening to another Windy City QueerCast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast. Queer and now.